Awesome. Let's get started. Good morning, everybody. It's good to have you again on this wonderful day. This is the day that the Lord has made. And I'm very excited about the words that the Lord has in store for us this morning. Before we get too much ahead of ourselves, let's pray for the word. Pray for yourself that God would give you wisdom. He'd give you revelation and understanding. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you this morning for your presence right here. We thank you, Lord, for your word. Your word is life to us. Your word is life to our bones. And even today, Lord, we pray that your word would produce life inside of us. We pray for revelation knowledge. I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice right now that you'd give them wisdom. Let them hear what the Spirit of the Lord says. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen. Awesome. Let's go straight to the word. I want to go to Luke chapter 8, verse 40. This is a portion of scriptures that we were reading before the Easter weekend. So let's go to Luke 8, verse 40. The Bible says, and it happened when Jesus had returned. He was coming from Gennesaret. Okay, Gennesaret. And the Bible says here, the people received him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, a man named Jairus came, and he was a synagogue ruler. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him that he would come into his house. Verse 42, for he had an only daughter about 12 years of age, and she lay dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. Verse 43, the Bible says, and a woman who had a flow of blood 12 years, who had spent all her living on physicians and could not be healed by any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment. And instantly her flow of blood was staunched. In other words, it stopped. And Jesus said, who touched me? Jesus said, who touched me? Profound question. And Jesus said, someone has touched me. And Jesus said, who touched me? And all having denied, Peter and those with him said, Master, the crowd presses and jostles you, and you say, who touched me? And Jesus said, someone has touched me. Someone has touched me, for I know that power has gone out of me. And seeing that she was not hidden, the woman came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared to him before all the people why she had touched him, and how she was instantly healed. And he said to her, daughter, be comforted. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Other version says, your faith has healed you. Your faith has healed you. Now, last week, we were a bit diverted. We had to deal with the season that we're going through. It was Easter weekend, and I taught on a message entitled, The Man in Your Corner. But before then, we were on a journey. And this journey was to explore the extent to which our salvation has an impact on our lives as believers. And the basis of our thesis was this. We were saying, when Jesus comes into your life, his intention is to take over everything about you. And when we talk about everything about you, we mean everything. Jesus comes, he changes your innermost being, he touches your spirit man, but he doesn't want to stop there. Jesus wants to touch even the outside. He wants to touch your body. He wants to touch your emotions. So his intention when Jesus comes into the life of a believer, it is to take over everything about that person. Now, based on that view, we are saying that when you get saved, and that word to save in salvation, the Greek word is sozo. The Greek word is sozo, and that word is packed. And that is what we've been going through all along. And we're saying when sozo comes into your life, nothing has a chance to remain untouched. Everything about you gets touched by the hand of Jesus when it comes into your life. Hallelujah. And we've made a few discoveries. And these were the discoveries we made. We spoke about the salvation, the complete package of salvation. And we say, dear, when Jesus comes, the first thing that he does, and that is the entry point, it is to restore your relationship with Father God. I want you to know people are lost when they don't have Jesus. And the reason why they are lost, it is because this relationship with Father God is cut. In the spirit, they are dead. And that is what Jesus comes and he fixes that first. And child of God, that's the entry point. The Bible tells us that everybody has to come through the gate. You have to come through the gate. And the gate is Jesus Christ, our Lord. And secondly, we discovered that when Jesus comes, he restores our broken character. He touches our emotions. You know, the Bible talks about when we are in Christ, we have the mind of Christ. Because when you are in Christ, you've got the capacity to live a life in a certain manner, to behave in a certain way. And therefore, if your character is broken before Christ, your character cannot remain broken after Christ. Hallelujah. Because he comes and he changes you in that moment. Hallelujah. So this morning, I want to continue with point number three of sozo. Point number three of your salvation. We're talking about a complete package. I want to talk about point number three this morning. And this point speaks to your physical body. Jesus wants to heal you of all your diseases. And I want you to underline, of all your diseases. In the same way that Jesus comes and he washes away all your sins, he wants to do exactly the same with your diseased body right now. Amen. I know some people will even start protesting right there and say, hey, pastor, wait a moment. When you say all, do you mean all? Yes. Because I can ask you the question, when Jesus says, I have forgiven you all your sins, is he referring to all the sins? Remember, we're talking about the complete package of salvation. So this morning I've entitled my message, It's Nothing Stays Behind, Part 3, and we are saying health for your body. Health for your body. And we're going to unpack this morning this aspect of sozo in a believer's life. This aspect of sozo in a family's life. This aspect of sozo in a nation's life. Do you know that there are nations that are sick right now? And because they are sick, nothing goes right for them. Think about Africa. We've got a lot of African countries that are rich in terms of minerals. But in terms of wealth, in terms of the well-being of that nation, you cannot put the two together. So there are nations that are sick. Now, this is my point. If salvation is good enough to save you from damnation, if salvation is good enough to restore your broken character, should it not be good enough to bring healing to this physical body? Just think about that for a moment. If salvation is good enough to save you from the biggest issues in mankind, which is sin, that is the biggest issue. Our separation from God is our biggest problem. We can speak of all other issues, but your separation from your Creator is your biggest problem. And guess what? Salvation came and sorted out that problem. Now, isn't it good enough to deal with your body? And I want to ask you a question. What is going on in your body right now? Does it have a name? If you can name it, salvation has it covered. Hallelujah. Because the Bible says, at the mention of his name, every knee shall bow down. Every knee shall bow down. And I want you to know, if that sickness has a name, it should bow down before Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. That is the issue about salvation. I'm talking about the migraine headaches that you've been experiencing. And you know, at a certain time of the month, you experience these migraine headaches. Yes, let's talk about that issue. I'm talking about that asthmatic attacks that you've experienced from your teenagehood. You're dealing with this asthma attack at certain times of the year. Maybe it's sinuses. You're getting ready for sinus and you're saying, well, it is a season of sinuses because it's going towards winter. Yes, let's talk about the eczema that you've grown up with as a young person. From when you were young, you experienced these patches on your skin and you've really tried to deal with it. And I must say, there are remedies out there that we can use to give us a level of comfort, and you can live a sort of decent life and a normal life. But my question is that the plan of God for you? Is that the plan of God for me, to having to manage certain symptoms in my life? Now, my question is, if somebody comes to you and they tell you that I've got a permanent solution for your eczema, will you not jump onto it? Will you not be prepared to pay a little bit more money because you know you don't have to scratch anymore? But this morning, I want you to know, I'm presenting to you a solution that will bring a permanent solution to your issue right now, in the name of Jesus. Now, yes, I know some of you have been struggling with this for a lifetime, maybe 15 years, maybe 20 years, and you've come to a place of accepting your situation. I want to encourage you by the message of God. Don't switch off your spirit man right now. Remain alert, because I believe a new dimension of faith is going to be released right now that will enable you to walk in complete health. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Now listen to me. Your worldview towards healing will determine whether you will be a partaker of it or you remain a spectator. Your worldview, I want to just talk a little bit about worldviews. The way you look at issues concerning health, your lenses through which you look at the matters of health will determine whether you'll become a partaker or you become a spectator, where you sit on the outside of the field of play and you just look at others walking in good health. It's all because of your worldview. It's because of what you've been taught. Is because of your experiences, because your experience will shape your worldview. Now, it is so important that you and I should build a biblical worldview concerning healing. Amen. You and I need to have a biblical perspective concerning the migraine headaches. Yes. You and I need to have a biblical perspective concerning the cancer that you've been diagnosed with right now. Do you know that if you are in an environment where people have seen cancers not being healed, it's very difficult for you to believe that your story will be different. But this morning, right now, I pray that you'd have a different perspective, because Jesus is your complete solution. Jesus is your complete answer. Do you know there are some statements that we have adopted in our Christian lingo? They sound spiritual, but saints, I want you to know they are unbiblical. I want to just give you one or two. You've heard people saying, "This sickness of mine, well, I don't know why you're taking ownership of it." People saying, "My migraine, my headache, my stomach ache, my ulcers," okay? They go on to say, "My ulcers is part of my cross. It's my cross. I'm going to carry my cross, and this cross will take me to the grave." And I want to say to you, do not live in an expectation of dying tomorrow. Because the Bible tells us in Psalms 91 that with a long life, I will satisfy you. And I want to declare over your life right now, stop confessing death over your life, because early death, premature death is not your portion, in the name of Jesus. So people tend to make it very spiritual, and they say, "My cross, this sickness of mine is my cross." And it sounds like it's spiritual, but it's not biblical. What's the understanding of your cross? When Jesus spoke about, if anyone is to follow me, let him carry his own cross and follow me daily. If you go to Matthew 15, you will hear Jesus saying, if you want to be my disciple, pick up your cross and follow me. It is important that as Christians, we're able to interpret scriptures correctly. When Jesus was talking about carrying a cross, was he talking about pains? Was he talking about suffering? Was he talking about misfortunes? Was he talking about problematic marriages? Because some of you say, "My marriage is my cross." No. If you look at the context of the cross was an instrument of torture, where people were going to be impaled upon at some point. So in other words, when you see a cross, you see death. So what Jesus was talking about when he would say, if any man is to follow me, let him pick up his cross and follow me, he was really talking about dying to self. Not so much suffering, not so much a pain in your body. He was saying, deny yourself. Because the cross was about dying. It was about a death. And therefore, do not call your sickness a cross, because that is not a correct interpretation of a cross. So what am I saying this morning? I'm saying sickness is not your cross. Sickness is not your cross to bear. It is something that Jesus bore on the cross for you. Hallelujah. Jesus bore the sickness of your body on himself when he died on the cross. I can imagine Jesus in heaven right now looking down at somebody who is saying, it's my cross, I'm carrying this sickness. And Jesus is saying, no, 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 my daughter, that's not what it is. A story is told somewhere in a village in Africa where a guy was carrying a bundle of bananas. Okay, he was carrying this bundle of bananas. You know, it's quite big if you know what I'm talking about. So this guy was walking on a dusty road and rocky road, and there he was carrying this bundle of bananas on his shoulders, and he was struggling. He was struggling, but he was carrying it. And then along the way, a truck came, a one-tonner, and this guy felt sorry for this man carrying this banana bundle. He stopped his vehicle and said to him, do you mind if I give you a lift? And the guy said, yes, that would really be helpful. So the guy jumps at the back of this one-tonner. To the shock of the driver, the guy kept on carrying the bundle of bananas on his shoulders and sitting in the buggy. And after a while, he stopped the buggy and he went to the guy and says, I thought I'm helping you. What's the point of me giving you a lift and you're still carrying the bundle of bananas? Is that what you're doing? Christ came and he said to you, I'm going to take away that load. I'm going to take away that sickness and I will put it upon me. Get into the buggy, rest. And this morning I'm saying to you, walk into the rest of Jehovah. The rest that Jesus brought us by his death. And I'm saying to you today that your sickness, that sickness is not for you to bear. It is something that Jesus bore on the cross. Hallelujah, somebody, this morning. I'm talking about Jesus carrying the sickness on his body. But some of us are carrying that sickness. Yet you're born again. You're still born again, but you're carrying that sickness. Today, let a holy anger rise up in your spirit, man, and say, no, this is not my portion. I'm not going to carry this sickness because this is not my portion in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in the account we read, Jesus was on his way from the Gadarenes, the place where he had healed a man with a legion of demons, you remember, from 2 weeks ago. And the Bible says everyone was waiting for him. Everyone was waiting for him. They heard about Jesus who was in the area. And you see, they had crossed the Galilee lake into Gadarenes and they came back because they were chased away from the Gadarenes because the people there were not comfortable with the power that was shown by Jesus because they said, no, 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 you're too powerful for us. Please leave our region. So Jesus went back. And the people were waiting for Jesus. And this morning, it is worth waiting on Jesus for your healing in the name of Jesus. It's worth waiting for Jesus. It's worth pursuing Jesus until you experience healing in your body. I wish we all could be like this community. This community heard that Jesus was coming and they said to themselves, we're not going to leave until Jesus comes. We're not going to leave until Jesus comes. And this morning, I want to say to you, whatever sickness you carry, have the same attitude that says, I'm not going to move until Jesus comes. I'm not going to change my prayer life until change comes in my life. Hallelujah. This is what we need to do, saints, because the Bible says here, they all waited for him until Jesus came. Now, as Jesus was coming from the Lake of Galilee, the Bible talks about a leader in the synagogue in that area, and his name was Jairus. And Jairus was experiencing sickness in his family. It wasn't him who was sick, but his 12-year daughter was sick. And Jairus was troubled. And he was one of those people who waited for Jesus. You see, you might not be the one who is sick. Maybe it's your daughter. Maybe it's your mom. Maybe it's your son, it's your husband, it's a work colleague who is sick right now. Will you have the attitude like Jairus who said, I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to go until Jesus comes. Now look at this. The Bible says, and behold, a man named Jairus came. I like the prefix that is used. It says a man. It doesn't say the man. It gives me an idea that Jesus did not know this man. He says a man named Jairus. Now, when it comes to healing, there is no stranger in the presence of God. Nobody is turned away when you are seeking for healing. The Bible says here, a man named Jairus came and he was a synagogue ruler. That detail for me just jumped out for me. One, he was unknown by Jesus. And many of you feel like, you know what? I don't even know if Jesus recognizes my voice. Well, I haven't been a great person. I haven't been a good person. I don't know if Jesus will hear my prayer. Now, the Bible says here, he was a synagogue ruler. Do you know that of people who were the most religious people who did not believe in Jesus, these guys, the synagogue rulers, did not like Jesus. They did not like Jesus at all. They were committed to seeing him dead. But the Bible says this man was determined to receive healing from Jesus. Now, it tells me something. Maybe you did something wrong last night. Maybe you did something wrong in the past weeks. It doesn't matter what wrongs you have committed. If you come to Jesus like this man came, genuinely looking for help, I want you to know Jesus will say, come, let us reason together. Come, let's talk about this. Glory be to God. You remember how Jesus dealt with the woman who was caught in the act of adultery. You remember how people were gunning for her death. They were saying, Lord, we found her in the very act of adultery. And the law says she must die. And Jesus stooped down and started writing on the ground. And he said, anyone who is free of sin, let him cast the first stone. I want you to know when you come to Jesus, he is not there to accuse you. He is there to say, let us reason together. Even though your sins are as red as scarlet, I'll make them to be as white as snow. Hallelujah. And Jesus said to this woman, if nobody has condemned you, I'm not going to condemn you. Go, sin no more. Hallelujah. Jesus loves you. So this man who was a synagogue ruler, you see, in the synagogue, there were two people. There was one who was the bishop, and then the second in command was the synagogue ruler. So this guy was right up there. The synagogue ruler was responsible for the program of the day. He would determine who would read scriptures. So this guy was high up there in terms of being religious. But he sought Jesus. This morning, will you seek Jesus concerning your sickness? Will you call upon the name of Jesus concerning your sickness? Maybe something will change in your body. Maybe your history will be different. Maybe your tomorrow will be different because Jesus will do something about it. Though Jesus did not know him, he was moved to go and heal his little girl. The Bible says here, he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him that he would come into his house. For he had an only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay dying. She lay dying. Jesus did not know him, and this was just a 12-year-old. One would say in the natural, what's so special about a 12-year-old? She hasn't really contributed much to life. If she dies today, we're not losing much. That would be through the eyes of the flesh. But when Jesus heard the cry of this man, and Jesus could picture this young girl at 12, really starting off her life, compassion moved Jesus. It tells me something, saints. Your physical body matters to the agenda of the kingdom. Your physical body matters to the agenda of the kingdom. I can say your physical body matters to Jesus. Jesus cares about your body because he gave you that body. He formed that body, and therefore he is concerned about your body. And somebody needs to have this biblical view. Some people think, what's the matter? It's just a body. But Jesus wants you to be in your body right now. Glory be to God. Amen. This little girl still had much to accomplish on earth. Still had much to accomplish on earth. You need your physical body to be well in order to fulfill the purposes of God for you here on earth. Amen. You need your body to be in its top shape for you to be able to run the race that has been set before you. Glory be to God. That is why I'm saying your physical body matters to the agenda of the kingdom. How will the sinners out there know about Jesus unless you are in a healthy body and you're able to stand before them and tell them about Jesus? Just think about that. That should be faith building by itself. Nobody exists on this earth by chance. You are not here just to waste time and to breathe air, to eat and to sleep, wake up every single day and not doing something worthwhile. No, there is a reason why God created you. There is a reason why you were not aborted when you were conceived. There is a reason why you are alive right now, and Jesus is saying to you, I want your body well. I want you to run this race well. You see, the gravesite is the place where there are most unfulfilled dreams lying there. People died prematurely. People died before their time. And you know what? More often than not, when somebody dies at 20, we console ourselves by saying, well, the will of God has been done. Is that really the will of God for young men to die in their prime age? What am I talking about this morning? At the gravesite, there are so many unfulfilled purposes. And right now, somebody needs to declare and say, I will not die prematurely. With a long life, the Lord will satisfy me. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you know that when the enemy wants to slow you down, he hits you with a disease? When the enemy wants to discourage you, he hits you with a stomach bug. Come on now, can you imagine me trying to preach here and I've got a running tummy? That would be a problem for me to be able to finish my message right now. Why? Because I would be needing the toilet. So when the enemy wants to slow you down, he will hit you with an ailment sometimes. You know, whenever I'm sick, I don't pray as fervent as I pray when I am healthy. When things are not well in my body, I'm not able to prepare my sermons well because I'm distracted. So I want you to know that sickness can be a distraction in your life. Where the enemy wants you to pay attention to your body and you neglect your spirit man, you neglect your family, you neglect your business. If God has called you to be a kingdom financier, and you get stuck in hospital for 6 weeks, what happens to the business? What happens to the kingdom? Yeah. That is why we need to have a biblical view around the issue of sickness. Psalm 115 is a very interesting scripture. The Bible says, the heavens, even the heavens, are Jehovah's. But the earth he has given to the sons of men. The earth he has given it to me. To do what? To steward. What that means is that when God wants to do something on earth, he looks for a body to use. He looks for a body that is available, one. Two, that is fit for purpose. That is fit for purpose. This is so important, saints, that the earth has been given to the sons of men to steward, to look after. You remember in the Garden of Eden, when God created the garden, he created man so that man would look after the garden. Are you looking after your garden? Are you fit enough to look after your garden? If you are not, this morning, it is time to stretch out our faith and say, I want to be fit for this purpose. Glory be to God. Amen. Look with me, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. Paul was talking about our bodies. If you go back to chapter verse 15, he was talking about being united with a prostitute. And then he goes down and he's saying, it's important that you understand. He says, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit? Do you not know that, saints? That you're a temple? Mm-hmm. Who is in you? The Holy Spirit. Whom you have received from God. You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Other version says, therefore, glorify God in your bodies. It is important for you to realize that if your body is a temple, there are certain things that happen in a temple. A temple is for worship. So when people come to a sanctuary, they come to the temple of God, they're there to worship and to adore God in a corporate setting. Now when God says, your body is my temple, the expectation there is for that body to be good enough for worship to take place. For worship to take place. And this morning, I want to ask you, is your body, your temple, in a state where worship can happen? Where worship can happen. And you know what? When people are discouraged and they are far away from God, what they do is they come into the house of God, and in that moment of coming together, they are inspired, they are encouraged, they are challenged to worship God at a deeper dimension. What that means is that when I am healthy, I'm able to transport that worship where that worship has to be showcased. I'm able to take my body to my workplace and I worship God there with what I do at work, and people are able to be inspired to worship God. You can't do that when you are sick. That is why we're saying nothing should stay behind, even your physical body. Glory be to God. Another verse, another scripture that I love, it's in Isaiah chapter 6. We all know the story of Isaiah, where Isaiah, in the year that King Uzziah died, in that year, he says, I saw the Lord. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. He had a revelation. He saw a vision. And in that vision, he saw God, highly exalted. The train of his robe covered the temple. You know? And you see, in verse 8, the Bible says he eavesdropped into the heavenly conversation. And I want you to know that right now there is conversation in heaven about the agenda of heaven. Amen. There is conversation where the Godhead is talking and they're saying, in Centurion, we need to do a major work. In Pretoria East, in Hartsfontein, we want to do a major work. We want to stir up a revival in that place. This is a conversation going on between God, among God. And they're saying, who shall we send? Who shall we send? And the Bible says here, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then I said, here am I. Send me. And he said, go and tell these people. You hear indeed, but do not understand. And seeing, you see, but do not know. I find that profound. Yes, God is in control. God is in charge. God is omnipresent. God is omniscient. But you know, when he wants to do something on earth, he needs you. He needs to partner with a body that is healthy. He wants to partner with a body that is available. And when Isaiah overheard the conversation, he did not give reasons to say, my body is sick, I'm not well. He said, here am I, send me. Glory be to God. That is why you and I need to be in our top shape physically, so that when God speaks, we are able to say, here am I, send me. Glory be to God. This is so, so key for every child of God to understand that there is a work to be done. There are souls to be saved, to be brought into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. There are families to be visited right now that need encouragement. But we cannot do that because the nation is sick. COVID-19 is on us right now. And I can say the nation is sick. And people are staying by themselves in their homes, and they've got nobody to encourage them. Why? Because sickness has struck our land. That is why, as the body of Christ, we need to rise up and say, this plague got to stop in the name of Jesus. Amen. There are many people who think and they say, this plague was sent by God. The moment you have that view that says the plague was sent by God or COVID-19 was sent by God, it changes the way you pray for healing. Because you're saying, if this was sent by God, why should I pray that this COVID-19 should go? But I want you to know right now, the Bible says every good and perfect gift comes from God, in whom there's no shadow of turning. COVID-19 is not good. It cannot be from God. Yes, God might still use it, but he's not the source of this disease. Amen. Does somebody hear me this morning? Amen. What am I talking about right now? I'm saying there is a race that I must run. Yeah. And there are victories that I must win. And I need to be in my body. And I need to be healthy. Glory be to God. Amen. I need to glorify God in this body. I want you to realize this morning that concerning your body, you are a steward of your body. You need to look after your body. There are some sicknesses that some of us are going through right now. It has nothing to do with the devil. It is because we are not responsible enough to look after our body. Come on now, let's talk about how much fast food we eat every week. How much fat we put into our bodies. Do you think at some point your body will not shut down if you just keep on eating the fatty food all the time? That is why the Bible says, don't you know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit? We speak about drug abuse in our nation. We speak about people who smoke cigarettes, 20 cigarettes a day. Can you imagine what would happen to those lungs after 5 years? I was talking to somebody at work. This lady is 65 years old. And she said to me, she's a chain smoker. She says to me, Mike, I've been smoking since I was 18 years. And she says to me, I would love to stop. I don't know whether this is clinically proven, but she says, I cannot stop anymore because if I stop, my lungs will collapse. This is what she says. She's 65, but she cannot stop smoking anymore. And I want to say to you right now, there are some conditions that we can avoid by being good stewards of our bodies. Amen. Many people experience liver failure. Not because it's a demonically inspired liver failure. It is because you've been taking too much alcohol. You've been taking too much strong drink. And because of that, your liver is overworking. And right now, it's failing. So there are some conditions which we can stop by being a good steward over this body. Come on now, let's talk about exercising. How many times do we run? How many times do we walk? By just a sheer walk in the morning, you'll extend your life. When God says, with a long life, I will satisfy you, he's also saying, work with me. Work with me. Some people sign out prematurely because their bodies have been damaged. Oh, well, I'm passionate about these things. But whatever your condition is right now, God is gracious. You can cry out to God and he'll bring a restorative miracle in your body right now in Jesus' name. Amen. So, the reason why Isaiah was quick, there wasn't any time frame given here. The Bible says, the Godhead was talking, who shall go for us? And Isaiah says, here am I. The reason why he said, here am I, is because he was healthy. I want to cover number two right now and we'll finish today. Then the second aspect we need to understand, and it's a shift in our mind, it's a shift in our belief system, is this. Physical healing is a basic need for a believer. Physical healing is a basic need for a believer. I'm hoping that that will change something in your life right now in the name of Jesus. It's a basic need. And what am I saying right now? It is criminal for you to stop someone to have access to a basic need. Can you imagine what would happen to me today if I am reported to police that I was beating my children for eating bread? Can you imagine what would happen right now if I'm reported to police, but I was punishing my children? I say to them, because you did something wrong, you're going to sleep outside. Oh man, that would be so wrong. But because it is a basic need. If you know the Maslow's hierarchy, he talks about five levels. And on the first level, he speaks of physical survival needs. And there we are talking about shelter. We're talking about drink. We're talking about food. We're talking about sleep. We're talking about oxygen. Now, I wish he had added there good health. But all of that has to do with your basic physical needs. And this morning, I want you to know that if somebody does not have a basic need, he does not worry about many things. He will do whatever it takes to meet his basic needs met. Can I say this to you, that in our nation, some of the crimes that we experience, some of it is petty crime where somebody is just looking for a loaf of bread to feed themselves for the night. It's petty crime. It's because this person is hungry. It's because this person is hungry. Now, I want you to think of that. There's an account in the Bible that gives us a better understanding of this aspect, of how Jesus views healing. Let's go to Matthew chapter 15, verse 21. The Bible says here, "And going out from there, Jesus withdrew to the parts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan coming out of these borders cried to him, saying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a demon.'" It was not her. It was her daughter. Saints, it is so important for us to stand on the gap for our families, to stand on the gap for our neighbors. Here, this is the woman, she's saying, and then Jesus says, but he did not answer her a word. Jesus was testing the waters here. Jesus was testing the waters here. Says here, "And his disciples came and begged him, saying, 'Send her away, for she cries after us. Send her away, for she cries after us.' But he answered and said, 'I am not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.' Then she came and worshipped him, saying, 'Lord, help me.' But he answered and said, 'It is not good. It is not good to take the children's bread and to throw it to dogs.'" Oh, saints, that is so profound. Because Jesus gives us a picture of how he views healing. He gives us a picture of how heaven views healing. So Jesus sounds like he's being nasty, but there is a principle that he's bringing to the fore. Remember, Jesus lived during the Old Testament. It wasn't the New Testament. The New Testament only came at the resurrection of Jesus. So the expectation of the Jews was that Jesus would only deal with the Jews. But we know that Jesus was breaking the law all the time. He healed during the Sabbath. He interacted with the sinners. He touched the lepers. You know, Jesus was just a different guy. So this is not a picture of what Jesus represented, but he was drawing out a principle. He was saying that if you are not a person of covenant, you are a dog. Okay? This is basically what he was saying here. And in the culture at that time, these were the terms that they were using. Everybody who was a pagan was seen as a dog. And he was saying, you do not give blessings to dogs. He was saying, you do not give bread of children to dogs. Man, I thank God that you and I are not in the old covenant. We are in the new covenant. And in the new covenant, we are the children that Jesus is talking about. Amen. Glory be to God. He is saying here, healing. Because this woman was saying, my daughter is highly vexed by a demon. Please come and help me. And Jesus says, no, I'm not going to waste the bread of children. And saints, you need to know that you're a child of God. And when Jesus looks at you, he says, bread is for you to take. In my house, when we buy bread, we have got a son, And our son loves bread. He just runs after bread, you know, slice after slice after slice. He goes for the bread. But, you know, would it be sensible for me to say to him, stop eating bread? No. The only time that the mama will stop him from eating bread, it is because it will be closer to supper. And she'll be saying, no, 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 no. Supper is about to be served. Don't eat bread. But in the absence of that, the young man knows where bread is. The young man does not ask for permission. He runs, he gets bread, and he puts too much peanut butter on it. And he just loves his peanut butter. But what am I talking about? I'm talking about bread. And I'm saying that is healing for you. Amen. Healing is like bread for you. Amen. And Jesus is saying here, do not give children's bread to dogs. Yes. I'm not a dog. You are not a dog. We are the Israel of God. Hallelujah. We are the new Israel of God. And therefore, bread is ours. Healing is ours. Deliverance is ours in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Children's bread. This morning, if you are sick in your body right now, I want you to go to the Father and say, it is children's bread. Healing is my portion. And this is faith building for anybody. Glory be to God. Amen. And this morning, I want you to know that God supplies everything we need for this life. God will supply everything we need for this life. And that includes good health. It includes peace at home. It includes deliverance from torment, from demonic activities. There's a scripture that I love in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. The Bible says, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Everything we need. Allow me to say, when you look at that word everything, in the Greek, everything means everything. It means everything. It means God looks at your life as a complete package. He doesn't say, this doesn't deserve my attention. When you are saved entirely. The Bible says He's able to save us to the uttermost. Glory be to God. So God wants to supply our every need. Our every need. Look at Romans 8 verse 32. The Bible says, truly, He who did not spare His own Son, He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him give us all things for free? Give us everything for free, including your health. May your faith be built up right now in the name of Jesus. In closing, I want to just summarize what I've spoken about this today. Because next week, we're going to take it a notch higher. As we debugging the myths around healing and around sickness. And I believe God is going to help you to deal with COVID-19. God is going to help you to deal with the sickness that has affected your family. You know, there are some sicknesses that are hereditary. And you need to be able to draw a line in the sand and say, no more, this sickness will stop with me in the name of Jesus. So what did we speak about this morning? These are the three aspects. We said your physical body matters to the agenda of the kingdom. There is a calling upon every child of God. There is a destiny. There is a purpose. There is a reason for being for every child of God. And for you to run your race, you need to be in good health. And therefore, I'm saying this morning, your physical health matters to the agenda of the kingdom. You need to have faith this morning that because God has called you, He also wants you well. He can heal you for you to be able to run your race. You know what? If He's not able to heal me, He is then disqualified to judge me based on my works. He will not be able to stand on His judgment throne and say, you did not do that. If you are sick in your body right now, you are able to stand and say, Lord, I want to run my race. I want to be able to account for the life you have given me. Glory be to God. And secondly, we said physical healing is a basic need for a believer. As much as bread is a basic need for anyone who is alive. This morning, saints, I want your faith to be stirred up. I want you to believe that God is able. He is your Savior. Amen. And when He comes into your life, He will save your spirit man, but he will also sozo your body. He will heal your body. He will deliver you. And next week, we're going to just dig deeper to understand the mind of God, the mind of Jesus concerning healing. We need to unpack the scriptures. Let's allow scriptures to interpret scripture. Do you know that if you have been brought up to believe certain things, you need the work of the Spirit of God to break the wrong belief in your life? So as we end today, I don't know if you are sick in your body right now. I want you to believe for healing. As I pray right now, I want to pray for somebody who says, Pastor, I've got a headache right now. I want you to put your hand on your head as a point of contact. Or maybe you're saying, Pastor, I've not been able to breathe properly. Put your hand on your chest and believe right now for a miracle. There is no distance in the spirit. Father, right now you can see each one of your children right now. Some are holding their heads. Some are holding their backs. Right now I pray for that one who has been struggling with a backache. In the name of Jesus, this backache has stopped you from sleeping well. And right now, I rebuke the spirit of infirmity from your body right now in Jesus' name. I declare you healed. Lord, every sickness, whether it is sinuses, difficulties with breathing, I declare freedom from that pain in the name of Jesus. I say by the stripes of Jesus, you are healed. Receive your healing right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you that you are a healer. You are Jehovah Rapha, our healer. You said, I will heal you of all your diseases. And today we receive total healing. Father, may your name be glorified in Jesus' name. If you were healed, I want you to continue believing and thanking God to keep your healing. Because there is a way also to retain and to keep your healing. Some people are healed in the moment, but they lose their healing along the way. You need to be able to keep your healing by faith and by confession, and we shall cover the technology of keeping your healing. Hallelujah, somebody. Maybe you haven't been healed right now. It doesn't mean that God does not want you to be healed. You've got to wait on God, because healing is your portion. In Jesus' name. Thank you so much for listening this morning. But I don't want to take the chance of thinking that we are all born again. Wherever you are seated, wherever you are right now, Jesus loves you. Before he wants to save your body from sickness, the entry point is your spirit man. If you are not born again, right now, you can say yes to Jesus. I want you to know, the sinner's prayer does not save somebody. It is when you repent and you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord. It is believing and repenting from your sins that will bring salvation into your spirit man. So if you believe right now, this sinner's prayer is just a point of contact. But real salvation happens at your point of believing and repenting and saying, Lord, I let go of my past ways and I embrace the new way. Then you become a disciple of Jesus. So pray with me right now and say, Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you this morning. I have heard your word that you want to heal my body, but you also want to heal my spirit man from death. And this morning, I've been walking dead, but I come to you today. Give me life. I believe in you. I believe that you died for me and that you rose on the third day. Today, Lord, come into my life. Make me a disciple. I will live for you and I will glorify you. Amen. If you have made that prayer, you have started a journey as a disciple of Jesus, and as a church, we want to help you to become the disciple of Jesus. Contact us. There's a website at the bottom where you'll be able to drop us an email and we'll be able to send you some material. We've got some powerful discipleship material in our church. We will send you a booklet called Let's Get Going. It will help you to get going. If you have recommitted your life, I will send you a material called Back to Basics. It will help you to go back to basics. So saints, God bless you. Thank you so much for joining me this morning. And I want to encourage you to keep on giving. We still need to meet our bills. Again, if you go onto our website, you'll be able to find our banking details, and God will bless you. Please stay safe. I want you to know that COVID-19 is covered in salvation, and the Lord will bring healing over this nation. God bless you. I miss you all, and I look forward to having you again next week on this channel at the same time. Thank you.